You have a special invitation. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss the meet and greet with refreshments and light food. Then hear Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, host of Let's Face the Issues, speak. There will also be several other speakers and regular guests of his daily radio program. The speakers will discuss social, spiritual, and political issues. And you are invited to join in the discussion during the question and answer session before a live audience. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Salem Center Auditorium, the home of this radio station, 7235 Bentley Road, formerly Bonneville Road, just east of Highway 1 Phillips Highway. Seating is limited, so please arrive early to get a seat for the Let's Face the Issues rally, Thursday, July 1st. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to having you join in the dialogue and discussion. Got an exciting program scheduled for us today, and I'm looking forward to your interaction, your question, your comments, dialogue and discussion on the issue. And let me say this as a personal invitation for our July the 4th Let's Face the Issue rally. We'd love to have you attend. It'd be our privilege to meet you. We met you on the air. We'd love to meet you in person. And we're doing this so that you can have the opportunity to participate in a live show, if you will. We're going to have it set up so that we will have the dialogue, the questions and answers, just as we do on the radio broadcast. One major exception, you will be there personally to be able to ask your questions and to join in the dialogue and discussion on the issues that we shall present. I pray that you'll put it on your calendar. And we're looking forward to having you join us on that special occasion. That is on July the 1st at 7235 Bonneville Road, now Bentley Road. Looking forward to you. That's at the headquarters of the radio station that we broadcast on. We're looking forward to having you join us for that wonderful time. We'll have the meet and greet and some light food and soft drinks for us to participate just before the program, 5:45. 6:30 is the meet and greet. Love to have you. We'll have a full book table of books that will be available of those that God's given me the privilege of researching, writing, and publishing down through the years. And we're looking forward to having you be with us on that exciting evening as we face the issues in person. Looking forward to seeing you there. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And as we face the issues based on the Scripture, we ought to understand that the Scripture tells us that we're in a demonic, satanic battle. It is a battle for the soul of the nation. It's a battle for the soul of the church. It's a battle for our faith, freedom, family, and the future of our great nation. And the question is, have we lost the will to stand? Have we lost the will to stand? That's my question today. That's the issue today. We're going to talk about that because we're finding so many things converging on a national and global basis. Multitudes of people are simply saying, what's the use? We can't win. Why stand? Why not just sit down, shut up, be silent, and say nothing and do nothing? But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you think that's the answer or not. We want to hear from you today. What do you think the answer would be in relationship to the difficulties, the problems, the perilous times? In fact, in the Scripture, we're reminded that we're going to find perilous times in the last days. The Apostle Paul says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And may I modify that? perilous times have come. They have arrived. And we're in those perilous times. That means dangerous, dark, difficult, deadly, destructive. And that's the era in which we're living in today. And it ought not to defeat us. It should challenge us to stand. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 12 and following, especially in verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, having done all, stand. That means after we've done all of the preparation, all of the watching, all of the praying, all of the planning, then we dig in our heels and we don't run, we don't bend, we don't bow, we don't shut up, we don't sit down. We simply stand and face the enemy. And we're going to be talking about a few of those issues across America where that's exactly what is taking place. And that's my challenge today by asking the question, have we lost the will to stand? Let me remind you, as we face the issues, it's based on the authority of Scripture. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God, staying in the word of God, that we have the truth, and in knowing the truth, then we are free. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture in context, if we continue, constantly stay, dwell in my word, speaking of the word of God, then, it's then after you stayed in, constantly dwelt upon the word of God, then you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, surely. An evidence of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is one that stays in the word. And you shall know the truth shall make you free. Then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. Further, he elaborates with the declaratory statement in John 17:17, where Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that we ought to stand on. But truth is not sought after. Truth is demeaned and denied and rejected and not defended in most circumstances today. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be absolutely on target today. The Beltway of Washington, and most of what you're finding even in denominations today, we'll talk about that further, about the Southern Baptist Convention and their meeting this week and some of the bowing to political correctness that has taken place. We'll talk about that. But ladies and gentlemen, it is the bowing to political correctness that avoiding the truth that causes so many problems. It was the former Senator Jim DeMint that warns Americans' decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint said, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about the reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is real and true. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian church, Jim DeMint said. That was his statement, by the way, on May 15th of this year. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the mantra of the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge to you each and every day, is that we as believers seek the truth. It's not on CNN, Communist Network News, not on MSNBC. It's not on ABC, NBC, CBS. Very rarely do you find it on Fox. But ladies and gentlemen, we're to seek the truth. Where do you seek the truth? It's in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. If we know the truth of the word of God, God will give us wisdom and understanding to make proper decisions in that which we face in society. I don't have to amplify that anymore than simply saying one of the problems in America today, I believe, even among Christians, we've gotten away from the truth book, the word of God. Therefore, we do not know the truth, and we're willing to follow political correctness instead. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They have a staff that can answer all of your questions about professional and homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's some that have asked, well, how can I find 11291 Old San Augustine Road? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic benchmark. It's a 165-foot flagpole with an American flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a very serious question that is the issue today. Have we lost our will to stand? There's some people that have just gotten to the position of being, as I would use the term if you would allow me, being so defeated and so dilemmified and so beaten down with the issues, they've decided it's easier just to simply sit back and say nothing and do nothing. I'll never forget a young man that was a member of our church a number of years ago that he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he worked as a golf course greenskeeper. And he would take his Bible in his lunchbox and sit on one of the greens at lunchtime and eat his lunch and read his Bible. He was mocked, made fun of, demeaned by his coworkers because of reading his Bible. He said on one occasion, to me, as he spoke to me, he said, "Doc, the days that I either forget my Bible or don't take my Bible with me and work through the day," he said, "I get along better with my coworkers than when I have my Bible, when I'm reading my Bible." And he was wondering at that juncture, and we discussed it, what should he do? My position is keep taking your Bible, keep reading your Bible, keep standing for truth. Let the world laugh and mock if they will, but don't let that prevent you from standing for truth. And that is true today, perhaps more than ever in the history of our nation. Is it possible, though, ladies and gentlemen, is it possible that the conservatives and the patriots and the Christians have fought the battle against the system, that there's now today the unwillingness to simply stand today, perhaps a non-interest in standing for the truth and standing on the forefront? The battle over morals and ethics and values in our nation just a generation ago was totally different than where we find today. Now, yes, we've been facing battles for many, many, many years in relationship to Christianity, spirituality, and truth. Satan always works, always has worked in the same modus operandi, the same pattern of trying to tear down and destroy and squelch the voice of the Christian. Let me ask you a question. On your job, are you willing to take your Bible? On your job, are you willing to speak the truth in love? On your job, in your profession, in your daily walk, are you willing to confront issues and say, wait a minute, let me ask you a question? By the way, just for a little side issue, I find it interesting that when I still see people wearing a mask, ask them, what's the mask for? Are you protecting me or are you protecting you? Do you know the mask has no protection for COVID-19? Just to enter into a conversation to get someone to think rather than just simply in a robotic form following the whims and the wishes of the federal and state government that is simply pushing for us to be robots, little slaves to churn out the tax money for them to spend it as they please, regardless of whether morals and ethics and values are depleted, destroyed, or they're enhanced in our nation. Today, ladies and gentlemen, most Americans will agree that our public educational system, for example, is absolutely botched. We live in a system today that no longer is education about academics. It's not about academic freedom. It's not about teaching our students about morals and ethics and values and mathematics and science and English, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The focus today, ladies and gentlemen, on public education, kindergarten through university, is on brainwashing our children, our grandchildren, to hate America. I'm thankful that some modicum of things are taking place today that's has a harbinger for good. Now, I've been watching, and I don't know if you've been paying attention to it or not, been watching some of the moves of our governor in the state of Florida. I'm thankful that he's taken some stalwart stands for good. By the way, just a little thought. The governor said recently I think the statistical data is something like 8.9 million people have moved from the tri-states in the Northeast and from California to the state of Texas and the state of Florida. And Governor DeSantis has said that he has already discovered that the overwhelming majority of those that are moving to Florida are moving because of the free state and taking on that free stand that we take as conservatives and Republicans in the state of Florida. Somebody just recently said, I believe it was Hannity, that said when he's talking with the governor, are you insisting that people that move to Florida leave their blue state liberal politics with them? And then when he responded, he felt that most are coming and changing their position on that. But here's something DeSantis has done. This article says Governor DeSantis just signed a bill requiring a moment for school prayer. It's dated July the 15th. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill into law that would require public schools in Florida to hold at least a minute of silence to allow schools to meditate or pray. The state joins more than a dozen other states compelling schools to do so, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about that? Is it good, bad, or indifferent? Should that be done? I recall back, and this dates me considerably, I recall in the day that I was in school, we'd start out with prayer. We'd have Bible reading. The teacher would assign us scripture memory verses. We're talking about public school. Teacher would assign us scripture memory verses. We'd have prayer. We'd have Bible reading. We'd have the pledge to the flag each and every morning. That was part and parcel of the start off the day in the public school system back eons ago. We've come a long way from that today. And as a result of that, we're watching the demoralization and the declension, decline, and the destruction of the morals and ethics and the values in our nation. The question is, do we have the will as a people, as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, do we have the will to stand and say, not on my watch, you don't? Do we have the will to take a stand and say, this is what we are going to do, whether you want us to or not? Do we have the will to take a stand and say in our public schools and in our political system that this is what we're going to do and we're not going to be bulldozed over? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's time that we grow a spine, grow a backbone, and have a will to do something that would honor God. It is something that we're seeing taking place today in the academic system, and let's touch on this first. In the academic system today, across America, we're finding a greater and greater number of those that's willing to take a stand and do something and say something. In fact, I'm looking at an article here from Tony Perkins. June 9th is the date. Virginia District hears parents of Lowndes County clear. One thing was for sure. They didn't come to be quiet. The parents of Loudoun County, Virginia, who were packed into every available chair at Tuesday's board meeting, were very angry. For months, they've been warring with the district over the woke curriculum in a feud so bitter that it made national news. But it was the suspension of Tanner Cross, a PE teacher, who spoke out about a new transgender policy that turned the local temperature from hot to boiling. Further in the article, it says, for 4 hours, they took turns telling the school board to stop instilling progressive left ideas on our children. Stop. It's inappropriate. Stop, one mother said, to silence, to bully, or dismiss our views as parents. Stop trying. Waving dozens of signs that read, you're fired, or stop the critical race theory. That was the picture of the new conservative uprising in Lowndes County, Virginia. Further, this article states, it's a snapshot of what's happening in school districts across America. Parents are awake. They're engaged. They're lighting a fire in the local communities to stand up and fight back. In Rapid City, South Dakota this week, local families were so frustrated by the indoctrination in their district that they organized Boots on the Ground campaign, a lot like the parents in South Lake, Texas did, and managed to sweep all four open seats of the school board with conservatives. Like Lowndes County, Virginia, they refused to take the radical takeover lying down. And when people speak out like Tanner did, it gives others the courage to stand and do the same. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a little, how would you say, snippet of what I'm wanting us to understand today. When one Christian has the backbone to stand, others will stand. When one patriot will publicly stand, others will stand. When one conservative will publicly stand, others will stand. It helps to encourage others when we see others standing for truth and willing to go to the mat and do battle for the truth that we ought to stand for in our nation today, and especially as Christians and conservatives. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question, have we lost the will to stand? I pray that you've not. I want to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Do you believe Christians should stand or should we be silent? There's a mindset in society today, ladies and gentlemen, the political correctness, the woke agenda, the woke culture today says that Christians are second-class citizens. We should sit in silence. If you're conservative, you're a bad person. If you're conservative, you need to be put on the new Biden domestic terrorist watch list. If you're conservative, you need to be silent. If you're Christian, you need to sit in the corner and say nothing and do nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I am unwilling to sit in silence. I'm unwilling to sit in the corner and be a second-class citizen. The question is, have we lost the will to stand? I believe we have Jim on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood.
I hope you're doing well. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't believe that people have lost that will as far as Christians go. I know I've got the will, but I have to admit that I get busy with life trying to make a living, and that if you're seeing people standing up and coming out and speaking up and they've got a full life, you know, with work, with children, with cares, you know, the responsibilities of daily life there, and they're stepping forward, you know that it must be disturbing their souls at a deeper level. I have found that I try to talk to everybody I can, you know, in regards to where the world is going, and it's time to wake up and find Christ today before tomorrow comes, because the hour, you know, could be now. And I also learned what LGBTQ stands for, too, as well. It's let's get Biden to quit. Or did I get
that's
that wrong?
That's not a bad acronym, then. Let's get Biden to quit. I'd buy that. I would buy that LGBTQ, the statement there.
Yeah, but it's the problem is who's following them up. You know, we would
well,
get
Jim,
Harris
it's a pitiful thing. Jim, it's a pitiful thing to watch what's happening on the international scene, especially with Biden and the G7 trip and now the meeting that he's involved as we speak with a five-hour conference with Putin. First time in the history of America where our president has refused to let it be an open meeting with a head of state, especially like with the head of Russia, head of China, et cetera, et cetera. And yet he's behind closed doors. Yesterday, he seated at the table in one of his conference meetings trying to make a statement, and he hummed and hawed for about 28 seconds, saying a mumbling statement that no one understood. Just the other day, the first part of the meetings, just the other day, the whole world was laughing at him when he made an introduction of somebody that had just been introduced, and he had not even recognized that had been introduced into the meeting. And Boris Johnson from the UK had to quiet him down and say, we've already introduced him. And when the people were laughing, hysterically laughing at Biden, it was Boris Johnson that put the hand up and kind of said, quiet, quiet, and kind of quieting them down. It is an embarrassing thing, and also it's a sad thing to watch that take place for our national leader, for the head of the nation, the president, because we see the whole world laughing at him. That indicates a weakness for our nation, and it doesn't bode well for the future of what other national leaders will do. But as that's being said, I'm prone to go back to the subject. With knowing that, with seeing that, seeing where we're headed, I believe it ought to induce Christians and conservatives and patriots to speak up, be heard, be seen more. When you go back and study the scripture, Jim, I find that in Nehemiah, in fact, Nehemiah is a fantastic study for any Christian to understand what we should do. They'd been criticized. They'd been castigated. There was a conspiracy to undermine, to tear down, and destroy the work that they were doing. And they, with 49,942 people in a 52-day period of time, because they had a mind to work and a heart to believe God, and made the statement, as Nehemiah reminded them, "Our God shall fight for us." As they were building the wall, they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. They were watching and working. And so I contend that whether we, regardless of how busy we are, we need to be working, but at the same time watching and being willing to defend the position that God's given us, the faith that's once delivered to the saints. So what are your thoughts to that statement?
I would agree with you, and I think that I'm going to call that hotline number and turn myself in for being a patriot. And
They've got some on the domestic terrorist list. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to laugh at a lot of it, because I just, in my life, I can't fathom what I see, and it doesn't make any sense to me, because it's like, where is the America that I grew up in? Why are these people so motivated to completely destroy a system that's worked for hundreds of years, and a nation that was based on morals, principles, and the Bible and God? And I just don't, I know why. I know that God's in control. He's the one that is bringing this to fruition, but it just, it amazes me that
yes,
there
sir,
are people
as
out
you
here
say
that,
that
are that
I'm blind. Prone to, as I hear that, I'm prone to respond to that. God's in control. God's sovereign. He's not sick. He's never had COVID. God is not dead. He's not on vacation. He's not silent. He's in total control. But at the same time, he's charged us with the responsibility of being salt and light. And as such, we should be actively engaged in the culture in which we're living. If we're not engaged in the culture in which we're living, it will continue its demise and its decline to its ultimate implosion and death as a nation that we have known for 247 years. So, Jim, thank you so much for your call and for your input.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, have we lost our will to stand? The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear your comments, your dialogue, and discussion on the subject. I'm looking at another article. It says, school reverses decisions to censor references to God. Officials in a public school in Michigan have reversed their decision to censor a reference to God from a speech prepared to delivery for the by the valedictorian of the graduating class. First Liberty Institute confirmed on Thursday that officials at Hillsdale Michigan High School reversed their decision that would have prevented Elizabeth Turner from referencing her faith in a valedictory speech. Quote, "We're grateful to the school's officials for acting swiftly to ensure that religious students can freely exercise their right to express their faith in graduation speech." And we'll talk about that article a little further after the top of the hour news break. But ladies and gentlemen, the whole point is there was a willingness to stand, or that would have taken place. This valedictorian said, "No, I'll not be silent. I'm going to speak about Jesus. I'm going to take my stand, publicly let the world know that I love the Lord Jesus Christ and depend on him." As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, the school reversed its position and allowed her to do so. It's taking a stand, and it's honoring God in that stand. And as we honor God in the stand, I believe that God will open the door, provide the way as we stand for truth. We need to understand, as we live in this society today, salt and light is the mandate of the hour. And it's speaking salt and light, speaking of the church, and if salt hath lost its savor, the scripture says it has no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And we see the church being trodden underfoot today because we fail to be salt and light in the society that God has placed us in. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand and not bow and not bend. Just as the three Hebrew children of the little book of Daniel, the third chapter, they didn't bow, they didn't bend, and they didn't burn. We need to take that as our stand today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break for about 1 minute. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Got some exciting things to talk about as we follow up after the news. Looking forward to meeting you on the other side as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.